Welcome to Conversations with Sarah, your self-care and wellness podcast, where my guests and I share information, inspiration, and stories of hope and healing to support you in creating a life you love. I'm your self-care BFF, Sarah Redden, the self-care queen, and today I am joined by Luna from Black Moon Co, who is sharing about her journey into witchcraft. Hi, Luna!
Hi, Sarah. Thank you for having me. Third time lucky.
I love speaking to you, as you know. Yeah, it is always a pleasure. And I always learn something new and I get really excited about everything. You just have such a great energy. So thank you for coming and speaking with me today.
Oh, thank you. It's really lovely to be here.
So those that are listening live in the Self Care Club membership community and long-term listeners of Conversations with Sarah will already know and love you. But for those who have not had the privilege of meeting you yet, would you like to introduce yourself?
Absolutely. So hi, everyone. Thank you for watching. I'm Luna of Black Moon Cove. I'm co-founder, spiritual healer and spiritual teacher with my business. So I run that business with my husband, Raven, and we have a team of four other staff members. We push out so much spiritual healing as much as we can muster to the world, including Reiki. We also do spells, we do past life regression, ancestral healing. And we teach workshops and courses based on spirituality and witchcraft as well.
And I will say, a bit self-disclosure, like I've recently been having some like Reiki healing distance with you, and it's been such a beautiful experience. It's really sort of held me through like the life changes that I'm going through at the moment. So I 100% recommend you and all of your services for people that are interested to come and get in touch with you. So that's my little plug, because like, you know, I think you're amazing. So we are today talking about your journey into witchcraft.
We are just a little topic for for a Wednesday morning. I was gonna say a Monday morning. It is definitely Wednesday, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And we're gonna try and keep this to our 30 minutes. We know that usually we don't, so I'm clocking the time now, and we're gonna try and keep it to our 30 minutes. So let's just dive straight in. Talk to me about like your first kind of knowing of witchcraft, how that came to you.
Well, I mean, you know, I was quite lucky to grow up as a wee child in a family who had no religious affiliations. Apart from dear old Nan, who was a Catholic, but did not push that on me at all. I was kind of raised quite independently, like even as a wee small thing, doing my own thing, very much encouraged imagination and creativity. I would go into the back garden and talk to the floating dandelion heads and talk to the stars. And I remember running out one of my birthdays, I think I was about 6 or 7, it was a full moon. And I remember my mum telling me, it's a full moon on your birthday, that's good luck. And I was so excited that I ran out into the back garden where I could see the moon. And I started kind of just like howling and screaming and all sorts of, this is the child that I was. And it was encouraged and it was fine. Sorry, neighbours. I remember sort of seeing faces and wallpaper and paint and doorways and talking to them and asking why they were there. And so I think it's kind of always just been a part of me, as it is for most children, you know, comes from that space of imagination. However, depending on your upbringing can help or hinder that innate feeling of being drawn to the mystical and drawn to the imagination. It can sometimes be taken off us, belittled from us. Or we get told that we need to just grow up and get over it.
And it wasn't the case for me. I mean that's interesting, because I'm sort of thinking as you're talking, like I've shared with you, like I have these weird and wonderful dreams, which has been something that's been with me from a child, and that kind of curiosity just came up for me then. It's like, oh, I wonder how my experience would be if it had been nurtured or received in a different way. I'm very aware, for me, there's been something that's felt quite fearful, like sort of my experience that I have with the vividness of the dreams that I have, and as a child it was very much kind of nightmare-y type of dreams, that as I've got older I can almost see a difference in the way I experience my dreams. So I think That's quite an interesting point. Like you, for you, it just having all that space to explore and play has allowed you to find your path. For me, it's been something I've been super resistant to, and your influence, meeting you, has definitely been one of the encouraging and nurturing sort of energies that has allowed me to be a little bit more playful around that part of who it is to be me.
Oh, well, it brings joy to my heart to hear anybody say that, because it is literally a passion of mine to bring that imagination, creativity, draw to the mystical and wondrous parts of this world around us. No matter how old we are, no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter how many naysayers we may be surrounded by, if it brings you some sort of joy and excitement and fulfillment to follow the intrigue of mystical, then go for it. And I just want to encourage people to do that. It brings empowerment though, right? Because when you're following what feels right for you, even if it is talking to a sort of a face you see in a doorway somewhere, so what? You know, if that's something that intrigues you and you want to do it, then do it. It's empowering and liberating to suddenly be given permission, if you like, to kind of do those things. Be silly, be creative, be wondrous and curious. And if you weren't given permission as a child to do that, or be told it was silly, or you should stop at certain times or at a certain age, then it kind of makes us push that part of us in a little box somewhere and sort of lock it up and throw it at the back way, and we lose ourselves, we lose a part of ourselves. And guess what's in there as well? We lose our power, our ability to be able to liberate parts of us that we've never been allowed to kind of explore in depth. And that's what witchcraft is. Our magic lives in that box.
And I guess that leads me to my next question. It's like, so what does it mean to kind of believe in that magic and that space?
What is it to believe in magic is to, what is it to believe in yourself? You know, you are magic. For me, magic isn't an external force. It isn't something that we conjure up and create. We create and conjure from our own magic, our own self. If you think of ourself as an onion, you know, the classic sort of symbology, and we peel away all the layers being how we even physically present to the world, how we were raised, the beliefs that were put upon us, the names, roles, labels that were given to us with and without our consent, you know, the socialization around us, the culture around us, how we should act, our mundane jobs, blah, blah, blah. We get all away in what's in the middle, that tiny little nugget in the middle is our magic and our power. And that's what magic is. It's power within us that's underneath everything that's kind of been built up as walls around it, making us really hard to access it. So when you believe in magic, you're believing in yourself, you're believing in the power you have to create the life you dream of. When we do a spell to manifest something, we're asking for ourselves to believe in ourselves, believe that we're worth the thing we're asking for.
And I love it. And as I listen to you, kind of, I feel like we use the same language in many ways, but the labels that we put on it is different. And that's one of the things that I've resisted in sort of looking at being a witch, having been like magical spells. The language of that for me felt distant. It felt like, well, I'm not a witch, am I? Am I? But when you take the labels away from it, and I listen to you talk, what you say is exactly the same as what I say, how I describe your innate knowing, the core of who you are, the power that you have in the words, in the language that you use, and the way in which it creates the way we think about things, the way we view the world, the choices that we make, the stuff that we do. So it's so interesting if we can suspend the judgment we have around the labels and listen to the description of what you're bringing forward. There's something so powerful in that. I love it.
Yes, we're stirring up the power then.
Yeah. Oh, it's like a little exploration for self here. And I think, yeah, that's where it's been really interesting for me, sort of being alongside you and sort of knowing you, is I've been more open to hearing the way in which you talk and not immediately dismissing something just because you use different language to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, labels can be extremely problematic for this reason. We use them because it helps us self-identify, right? It helps us create ourselves and who we are. When someone asks who we are, what roles we play, you know, who am I? I might say I'm a pagan witch. Those labels feel like they fit okay, but what those labels mean can be really unpacked and used against me in so many different ways in all different parts of the world from all different kinds of people, mm-hmm. right? So the problem in labels is that the word witch has been used as a source of demonization. It's been the source of disempowering women in particular over a long time, and has turned this wondrous, empowering, liberating, magical thing that's inside us, particularly as women, and turned it into a label which we will fear, resist, feel unsure about whether we are confident enough to access that magic. Because it's kind of like, oh, but what would that mean? You know, sometimes I worry that a lot of us get into this really strange toxic relationship with the world, I guess, where it's like a Stockholm syndrome. We're afraid of our power because we're so used to be force-fed things, spoon-fed things, told who we are, told how we should act, told how we should be, even subconsciously in how we every day make decisions and live our lives. So then this idea that we might actually say witch, magic, empowerment, strength, it's kind of scary, right? Because it might mean that we're not then attached to this weird relationship we've kind of created with the world around us. Does that make sense?
Yeah, completely. And sort of my education along the way of being in your sort of spaces, it's kind of unpacking that historical relationship that witches are persecuted. If you were a healer, if you were somebody that helped somebody get better, you were a witch. You were a witch, and you were either revered by some parts of society, but then when it came down to the hierarchy wanting control, you were the first out.
And when you unpack it all completely, it comes down to the basic idea that they fear anyone having power. So women particularly having power, working class particularly having power, if we're going all the way kind of back to kind of witch persecution times, it was basically mass murder. It was basically a way of wiping out poor women, women who had power because they could help people medically. Of course, they wouldn't want that because they're establishing more mainstream medicine that people have to pay for, whereas a lot of medicine women and healers would rarely charge, and if they did, it was often an exchange, like give us a sack of potatoes and I'll help you with your flu, you know, that kind of thing. Why would they want that to happen when it was liberating people and helping people, and they wanted control over medicine and control over how people accessed it? So then they created this fear that women were becoming too powerful. But before that, in the word and label witch was about a free thinking strong woman. And women would hold, and there's a lot of tribes and spaces in the world still who revere women. Women were worshipped, you know, like we literally create, we have life, creation is a gift, whether we choose to use it or not, separate discussion, but we do, we are given the gift of creation, and that is something to honor, revere, respect, worship, love. And I think there was always a fear of like what that meant. So over the years, we've got to a space now as women where there's so much past trauma and past disempowerment that's etched into us energetically, subconsciously, or even consciously, and has kind of made us worry and be afraid of this magic and this power that we actually just hold inside of us. We're just finding it harder to get to it.
And I kind of agree with sort of the bit that you said there about women create. It doesn't even have to be biologically, as in having children. Like, we are creative beings. Women do, I'm trying to find my words. Let me find, because there's too many thoughts in my head. I've been watching something recently. I've been actually watching a lot of kind of empowered men talking about the power of women and the relationship with women. It's been really interesting to kind of be in this weird TikTok space that I found myself in, where it is men speaking on when they're in their masculine energy, being with a female who's in their feminine energy, what a creative sort of empowering space it is. And that women naturally, by their being, not the doing, by their being, create and enable this sort of space for the people around them to be more empowered, to be more. And it's like, that's such a powerful perspective. And through the lens of witchcraft, I feel like that's, 100%.
Yeah, it's all about empowerment, isn't it? I mean, we're, especially as women, we're told to be small or made to feel like people pleasers, or other people's needs come before our own, especially if you become a mother. And there's this pressure that we have to behave a certain way, be a certain way, look a certain way, even if it's something that you rebel against or don't try and fit into as much. We have to acknowledge this is an issue and this is something that does happen. So the more of us who can reclaim our empowerment, reclaim our magic, reclaim what's inside of us and externalize that to the world, and not be afraid to shine, to stand tall. When we've been made to feel small, or we've kept ourselves small, we've kept our voices small, it kind of feels scary and weird to start using your voice or to start presenting yourself to the world in a way that vibes more with you and not just what you think other people want from you. Those things are scary steps, but that's what we try and do. As a witch, as a spiritual healer, I come from that lens as a witch all of the time, because that's at the core. My passion is to get people to feel, get to people to a space where they feel like they can present to the world more their authentic self, and not just the self that's been created by other people.
Yeah, and that's where we're so aligned. It's that authentic self, isn't it? It's all the work we do is helping other people, or supporting other people into stepping into what it means to them to be their authentic self and share that with the world. And I feel like the more of us that are stepping into that power and finding each other, the more of us can be enabled to step into that power. And it, my experience has been that, like, I'm often told that I'm intimidating. I'm not intimidating. I don't think I'm intimidating at all. Yeah. And other people that are aligned with where I'm at in my sort of knowing of self find me to be a pussycat and a delight. It's the lens that other, it's where they're at with their inability perhaps to have boundaries or to communicate who they are or even know who they are, that finds me intimidating. And for a long time, I tried to not be intimidating. And then I sort of realized, you're intimidated. I'm not intimidating. And all you can do is grow into a space where you don't feel that way. Because I'm not comparing us. I'm not kind of judging. I'm not, I'm just doing me. I'm just doing me. I'm living my best life. I'm playfully experiencing the world in which I live in. And mm-hmm. anyone around me, I'm inviting you to do the same. Like, genuinely be curious, be kind to yourself, like explore what it is to be you, speak your truth, like be
yeah,
be and let me be, and let's kind of be in this beautiful space together. And it's that when you step into that space and you have those people around you, like there's power in that, I think.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's just interesting that you generally, when you are yourself, will start matching up with other people who are themselves as well, and that vibe, isn't it? But yeah, it is, it's hard because I try and be understanding as well why some people might call me too much, or you know, intimidating, I've had, or definitely too much. I've had that label a bit.
Yeah.
And it does make you internalize that a little bit and think, well, maybe I should be a little bit less, I guess. But no, I damn well shouldn't. I should be a little bit more, if anything. Do you
100%,
realize
that yeah.
me being too much is actually holding myself back a little bit?
I think for the right people, though, it gives them the permission to actually step into being too much. Like, we're yeah. not, you know, if we're coming from a place of love, we're coming from a place of authenticity. Like, there's a big difference between being out in the world, being deliberately causing harm, you know, playing games with people's lives, all of that. We're talking about a completely different energy, like occupying who it is to be you, and coming from a place of love, coming from a place of care, coming from a place of truth with kindness is a different kindness. Don't always remember that bit. is that kind of important space. And that's where I feel like your communities, your teachings, the things that you talk about, that's, and the things that I talk about, that's where it lines up.
Yeah. I've always said during me running this business and working with people, I lovingly tell people what I feel is helpful for them. Whether or not it's what they want to hear sometimes is a different matter. But I think that's why as a business, we generally attract people of a certain vibration, a certain energy, people who are ready to maybe hear those things, to be asked inquiry questions that are sometimes hard to answer or feel uncomfortable. I'm like the queen of uncomfortable conversations, and I laugh at that. I was given that title by somebody, one of my team members actually, because I kind of can propose uncomfortable questions and conversations and reflections to people in a safe way, where people hopefully feel safe with me and trust me enough to kind of explore some of that. Because it's only when we confront uncomfortability and confront some questions about ourselves, our life, and work through what that means, that we can emerge feeling more empowered at the end. So that's always really my goal, to be able to allow people space to kind of go through some of that sticky stuff, you know, and feel held and safe in that place, and judgment free as well, you know, because DME, the last person to judge anyone, I'll always put that out straight away. I've been there, done that. I've had many times in my life where I've been, can I swear, like a bit of an asshole, you know? Like, absolutely, of course I've been an asshole. I'm human, right? Like, I've done things I'm not proud of. I've been unkind to people at times. You know, I have been a teenager.
That's what I'm sat thinking. My inner teenager is such an anarchist. Like, my inner teenager very much lets me know when it's not happy with the way in which I'm being treated, and very much has an attitude of let's burn the world down. And my adult self has to, you know, soothe and be like, okay, like, we can understand where this behavior is coming from. We don't have to accept other people's stuff, but we can understand it. And
Yeah, and I think that's important, to come from a place of knowing that I've been there, done that, felt that way, done that thing, you know. And what really bothers me sometimes in the spiritual community is kind of this egocentric energy that can come from a lot of spiritual healers and teachers who paint this picture of Maybe not that they've always been perfect, but it's very aesthetically pleasing all of the time, and all very kind of like, life is wonderful right now, and I'm up here, and if you kind of work with me, I can drag you from down there up to my level kind of feeling. And it kind of makes me feel ick, because we're human. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have come through a lot in my life. I have some knowledge, some skills, and some qualities whereby I can offer this professionally and support people through their healing journeys from a witchcraft lens. But I'm also experiencing life myself. You know, I'm not up there and dragging you up with me. I'm just here with you and kind of holding your hand and seeing if we can help each other along the way a little, you know. And I think that's really important as well, because being a witch doesn't mean that we're, you know, have this image in our head of like conjuring up this whirlwind around us and sort of igniting power all around us all of the time. No matter who you are, you will have days where you just don't want to get out of bed and feel a bit crap, and that's normal, and that's okay. It's how we deal with it and how we can rise from that is what matters. So yeah, I think being a witch is more than just saying I am almighty and all powerful, which is wonderful if you can feel that. It's also doing this thing called life and having a human experience and trying to be more mindful as to not let people take your power without your permission.
So what helps you from the witchcraft sort of lens with life right now?
Okay. Most definitely, well, throughout my whole life, ever since I was 16 and done my first spell and then created a little sort of witchcraft community around me, I think the community is something that holds me, grounds me, reminds me of my power on those days where I don't want to get out of bed and feel a bit crap. Yeah. It's that tribe, that coven is what people sometimes refer to them as. Now, that has been a running theme throughout my whole life, pretty much, that I've had this coven, this tribe. They look different and have different people attached to them through different parts of my life, of course. But what it means to me is having a safe place always, and people who will cheer you on, laugh with you, cry with you, lift you, raise you. So I think that's a really important element of what it means to me today and how it functions in my daily life. The other thing is kind of, so witchcraft reminds you to be mindful and grateful and aware of your surroundings via such things as drinking your coffee with intent and stirring the milk into your coffee 3 times clockwise and saying a little ditty, asking it to bring you strength and wake you up for a podcast recording. You know, and that makes me grounded in that moment. So when I'm stirring the coffee, I'm not just like quickly making coffee and downing it. Mm. I'm kind of stirring the coffee mindfully for just a minute, saying something in my head, a little incantation. I sip the coffee and feel it nourishing me and feel it waking me up. Things like going out and watching the full moon in the sky and just being in total wonderment. Remember back when I was a child, that running out and just feeling feral for a few moments and wanting to scream and howl and all sorts at the full moon. I don't do that now. I think my neighbors probably would complain, but I do sit there and watch the moon. And
I mean, that's something I'm really drawn to doing, going out and howling at the moon. So
like, I know. You know, well, our coven is having a big sort of coven get together in December for the full moon. And I've got a feeling that the campsite won't know what hit them. I'm hoping, because it's December, nobody will be as mad as us and staying on some sort of campsite in the middle of December. But yeah, I mean, it's those things, those everyday things, you know, going to bed and asking for my dreams to be pleasant, to be watched over and protected as I sleep. Mm. It's about feeling like I have access to energy around me. I can cleanse and clear if needed. I have the know-how to kind of connect with my spirit guides. So everyday kind of little-ish things, really, that grounds me and asserts this mindfulness and reminds me who I am.
Living life with intent, conscious intent.
Absolutely. And it's not something that I always remember or do all of the time. Most days there's a little something in there just because that's like a habit I've created over a long time. But if you're starting out, people feel like they need certain tools or need to look a certain way or be a certain way to be that label of witch. You don't, you just have to be you. You just have to be wonderful and powerful and remember who you are. And if you can remember, pop little moments in your day like that, little rituals that will help keep you mindful and keep reminding you of your power.
I love it. And that answered my last question that I had to ask. Now, I am very aware that you have a new program that's launching in the new year, and I want you to, or I'm inviting you, but I want you, please, to share that with people so they can know what you are offering and they can get involved if they wish to.
I'm so excited, and thank you so much for letting me talk about it, because it is something that is just part of who I am. It feels right to offer this. It's a year-long program starting in January 2024 all the way through till December 2024, and it is a beginner's witchcraft program. So we will have, throughout the whole year, there is 4 main lessons which will come to you in a PDF format so you can work through it in your own time. You will have a deadline to finish reading it and be ready to submit a short like assessment, but it's just more about your reflections on what you've learned. Beyond those lessons, we also have 6 weekly live lessons with myself, so it'll be like a big group call that you can listen to me, take notes. I will record all the sessions as well and get them emailed out so you don't have to always be in attendance. We have 3 houses, the wolves, the ravens, and the mermaids. So you will be sorted into a house where you will have a more intimate, smaller coven, where there will be an online forum where you can kind of give each other more support, which will be headed up by myself, Raven, or Eclipse, which is another team member. And we will be kind of facilitating that house and that forum. You also have access to our whole workshop library, which is on our website. So lots of learning and lots of wonderful, exciting things. And in the aim is to kind of do what I said at the beginning, to bring people to a place where they've peeled all of those layers away and they're able to access that little nugget of magic that's been hiding and feel empowered to kind of externalize that to the world and create and just be themselves.
I love it. And you, as you know, I'm quite excited about the idea of joining. I've already been on your link and filled in the questionnaire to find my little house. so I was like, oh, this is exciting. I mean, we'll, if that's okay with you, we'll pop some links in the show notes so people can come and find you. Obviously, if you're listening to this next year, then probably this one's not gonna be great, but there'll be something else that Luna and Raven will be offering that will be amazing. I very much believe we hear what we need to hear at the right time. So whenever you catch this, that I'm sure there'll be something out there that you're offering.
Oh, absolutely. We always have courses running. We always have workshops available. We have our Facebook group, which is all about sort of spiritual learning and kind of support. So yeah, there's lots of different spaces and lots of different things constantly going on.
I love it. We have gone over time, but we knew that we would. So is there anything you want to share before we finish?
Other than the fact that if anyone is watching this and they feel excited at the prospect of them being a witch and not knowing what to do about that, then I would say you are a witch, my dear. You have power, you have magic, you have beauty beyond all of whatever has been told to you or given to you. So just start stepping into that best you can.
I love it. And I would echo, if this is something that you are curious about, absolutely go and join the communities that you have. There's free communities. There is no pressure. I dip my toe in and out. Keep an open mind. And you'll be surprised at how much probably already resonates with you. But the language just might be slightly different, feel maybe a little bit uncomfortable because of all of the stuff that we talked about at the beginning. But if you kind of come and sort of play in the space, you might be just like amazed at sort of what this unlocks for you.
Definitely. Beautifully said, thank you.
Thank you. Well, it's because I experience it, so I can share from my perspective as someone who is curious and realizes actually I do a lot of this stuff without putting the label on it that there is, and I can choose to identify as a witch or not, because that's okay. Because like you say, I still am. Whether I use the name or not, I still am.
Yeah, you are. You are.
I love it. Thank you so much for coming and sharing with me today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure as always.
I'm sure we'll be back on again soon talking about something else. Thank you to those that have listened. I hope that you've enjoyed today's episode. If you'd like to hear more from me, you can listen to my new solo podcast, Self-Care with Sarah Redden. You can also find details of how to connect with me or my guests in the show notes. And I love to hear from listeners. So if you've got feedback, if you've got questions, or if you'd like to be a guest, connect with me on Facebook at SRTT Self Care. And remember, stay curious and be kind to yourself.